online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Vocals on you, don't you?
I'm in love with Mary Jane.
There he goes.
She's my main thing. She makes me feel all right. She makes my heart sing.
I love it when we're here. Welcome with that. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Being Mary Jane After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. It is Season 2, Episode 2, Freedom. If you haven't already done so, make sure you go on to iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, anything that's social media. Go there, find AfterBuzz TV, and then find Being Mary Jane's After Show, and make sure you like us, comment, leave us, tell us how pretty we are and how gorgeous Fania looks tonight and just what you love about the show, because we love talking about Mary Jane. And I am your host, Tiana Hobson. And joining me tonight, I have the lovely
Fania Thomas. Hello.
And Ashley Gray.
Hey, guys.
And we have our very special guest tonight. Thank you for coming back. We have Richard Brooks in the house.
My pleasure.
I give him a shoulder shrug. That's my hand clap.
Okay, that's cool.
So thank you for coming back in. We had you in last season, and it's so nice to see you again.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, especially that voice. I missed it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What have you been up to since the fans have last seen you here on the Being Mary Jane After Show?
I've just been working, grinding, writing, you know, doing a few little guest spots on different shows and working on my music. Still twerking on my music.
Yes.
I thought he said still twerking on his music.
I was like, wait, what? Yeah, I'm working on my twerking.
Working on that.
You know, Cam, if you want to show us some twerking later, maybe.
Okay, well, you have to teach me some twerking.
There you go. Yeah.
Hashtag twerking on the music.
Mm-hmm. Twerking. All right, well, we are going to talk to you a little bit later, but I want to get into this episode for tonight. Yes. I want to start off with how the show opened up, and David's in Mary Jane's kitchen cooking up breakfast, and I thought I missed something. I know I missed the after show last week, but did I miss a whole episode? When did they get back together? What's he doing half naked in the kitchen? I wasn't complaining about it.
No. He looked handsome. His six-pack was on point.
Yes. And then they had baby Andre in there.
Yeah, and then baby Andre came and ruined things for me a little bit.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
I actually did not think that it was a dream. I thought this was for real. And then looking back on the episode from last week, how they kind of hooked up, I thought that it was possible that he did. They had a little overnight type fling, and he was just up. But then it kind of threw me off because Mary Jane comes in her house coat with the bat. And I'm like, wait, why is she doing all of that if he was there previous night? So that's when I put all of it together and was like, this is a dream. And then I saw a little white baby. And I was like, wait.
I mean, he didn't even look like a mixed baby. He was
like,
a white baby.
Right. That's Billy. Talking about some Andre. No, that was Billy Joel. Honey, I can't.
But one of the main purposes of this scene, when Mary Jane wakes up, we learn she's peed her pants again.
Again.
In the bed. Like, and what do we think is going on? Because I just don't know what is it.
Well,
like,
they mentioned it was stress. Yes, and somebody last season said it's stress, but it's still a little odd. Like, if that's the case, you should go potty before you go to bed, or limit your liquids at 8 o'clock. You know, when you were a kid, and your mom was like, "No more milk, no more water after 8:30. That's it. You're cut off."
What if these? Okay, this is going to be a little explicit, but you know how guys have wet dreams? What if this is like her wet dream? Or no,
this is urine. It's not.
Well, I don't know what guys like.
Yeah,
I don't know what comes out.
You do. Just think about it. You do.
I'm going to take us way off topic.
Okay, so obviously it's not that. So said, I'm going to go ahead.
That's real wet.
Okay, so obviously this is urine. My bad. But are you really that stressed out that you're going to urinate on yourself time and time again? That seems really extreme.
To me, it's a sign that something deeper might be happening Mary Jane. I know she's trying to get over her relationship and find the closure with David and move on with her life, but something else seems up with it, too, because just because you... No, I'm going to rephrase that because it was going to sound harsh. She's heartbroken, but I still think that there's more.
It's probably psychological.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's Richard, what do you think?
What's going on with your
I don't know why she's peeing in the bed. I mean, it is. It's crazy, yeah. She's really stressed. I think it's stress, yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely think she's stressed and confused, and there's just a lot going on. I think this heartbreak with David and him having the baby and it's just really, really heavy on her.
It's a lot to handle.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
So then we get into your character, Patrick, who's, you know, at his home getting ready and eating his cereal with water for breakfast.
Which I have to say, I'm very proud of your character. He has a job.
Yes.
He's now in his own place. And that's a huge step up from last season when he was smoking in mom and dad's house and doing this and that, things that he wasn't supposed to be doing, especially at his age and not taking care of his kids. You were a little crazy last season, but there's a lot of maturity that's happening in this one episode. Actually, last week we saw that he had a job, so I like the direction that it's going.
Yeah, definitely. Patrick is just doing what he's got to do, you know, to make it on his own, you know.
How does Patrick feel about his sister saying that she's babysitting trailers?
Well, fortunately, Patrick didn't hear that. So,
fortunately.
I think it's at a point where, you know, sometimes as a man, you have to just do what you got to do and take that job. And, you know, it ain't your end of the road. You know, it ain't really your ultimate, but it's definitely going to pay the bills. And if that's what it takes to have some self-respect and start this journey. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to set up a place for my family and things like that. You know, I think it's, you know, I would do whatever I had to do. So I totally understand with Patrick. I'm like, whatever I got to do, do it, you know, till I can do better. Do what you can do until you can do better.
Yeah, and I love that he told Mary Jane, you know, he's working on himself and trying to get Niecy and her kids in a place with him. And, you know, Mary Jane being typical Mary Jane, of course, has to kind of bash him. Like, you live in a shoebox right now. How's that going to work? But, you know, a lot of stress is coming her way. And I understand her to an extent because I like my space. And, you know, when you're used to having your space and then it's infiltrated by outsiders,
especially
it's
kids.
Hard. Yeah. And it's a huge difference than the lifestyle that she's used to. So I can understand where that is hard for her. But then, you know, family's family. So at the end of the day, you're going to shut up and
put them up. And do you think, can family overstay their welcome?
Of course. Most definitely. They definitely can. But one thing that I love about Mary Jane is she's going to go above and beyond for her family. And you can see in your character that he really, really loves his daughter. He loves his grandson. And I really, really like that we're on the inside instead of like on the outside looking in. We really are getting to see these characters and the relationships that they have between each other. And it's a really tight-knit group. Even though Grandma was really hard on Niecy last week, I still believe that she truly loves Niecy and wants the best for her. So it was really great.
She's a work in progress.
Yeah.
And
hence
we all
her name.
Hashtag work in progress.
Hashtag work in progress.
Yeah, tough love.
And there's a lot of new relationships happening because we see Kara, with a new guy tonight.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about her? Or him, I should say.
He was creepy. Like, at first, like, I find him very intriguing because I'm, like, drawn to those Johnny Depp type characters. Love it. Hence my singleness. But he was really, really creepy. But there's something about him that I like, and I think that there's something about him that Lisa finds really intriguing as well. Borderline, I don't know. I think that he really is the guy husband, the girl's husband, who Kara's husband cheated on her.
I thought that was getting revealed in that moment.
I think so, because he was joking around about it, but it was something in his face that was like, you are her. So I think that he is trying to get close to her only to get more information. You know, when you don't have that closure and you want it and you just want to know more about. So he's trying to get information about her husband or even her husband's whereabouts so that he can have his revenge. I know that's really like feeding into it. It's more so for predictions, but.
Yes. Good prediction, though.
Yeah.
Good
prediction. I mean, I'm with you in that moment. He definitely caught me off guard. I felt like he knew her more than she knew him.
Yes, yeah.
To him, nothing she was saying felt surprising or like it was new information. The way he just said, oh, is that a contributing factor to your divorce? Mm-hmm. Hey, dude, we just met. That's really personal.
Or that could be just his demeanor. We don't know. And if it is, then he's just creepy.
Or weird. He's a straight shooter like she is. And right, someone who's going to keep her in check. So I could see this going either way.
I thought he was a straight shooter. He made a really good comment about women. Women always oversell themselves. Do you think that's true, Mr. Brooks?
No, I haven't experienced that, actually.
I kind of think it's true because I think we're taught to be polite as little girls, you know? So therefore, we kind of... And sometimes we're not all of us are straight to the point and shoot it from the hip and keep it real, 100% real all the time. We kind of sugarcoat it and like build up and over explain maybe some shortcomings in our life or why things are the way they are, why we're single, why we're a single mom, why we don't have this, why we have that job. So I feel like there are a lot of women we do sometimes oversell ourselves, and it could just be subconsciously, like just because that's what we were taught to do as little girls, is to be more polite with your delivery.
Well, you think the politeness is selling? I don't know if that's...
Sometimes, see, now that's, I kind of agree with you on this one, because when he said that, I took it as she's overselling her career. Like, she's telling him, oh, well, I have this and I have that. You're trying to say that, oh, you don't have an office, but let me tell you what I do have. Let me brush you up on my resume. Let me tell you about my accomplishments. That's what I thought when he said that. And in reference to that, I don't think that women oversell themselves. I think that if someone believes that they are doing that, it's because the woman feels like she has to. So it's a give and take. If you're giving something at me, I need to let you know that actually, let me give you my resume because I'm very accomplished.
But see, there's no need for that. Well, men don't come in and you know,
some
usually,
men do.
I just took it back. Usually.
Yeah.
You don't have to come in the room and hear like, here's my resume.
But you have to take into account the career that she's in. She's always... Boom, boom, boom.
Wasn't in career mode. We're having tequila after hours. Like, let's just relax.
Yeah.
You don't have to... I mean, it was a little rude when he was like... It was rude.
And I think she was offended.
I think she was like... I felt like she was a little more uncomfortable.
True.
With him and just being able to just relax and be there with him. So I think the selling was more him saying like, you know, just relax. We're just having a drink. You know,
right.
Let's just take our time, get to know. She was really trying to say, this is what I do. And that's because she was kind of... hype, you know, she was a little hype with it, I think.
And I think some people do that as well. I mean, I went to my 10-year high school reunion. I oversold the hell out of what I do in my life and everything.
Yeah. It's like you're happy about your accomplishments. I don't believe in overselling yourself. There's no such thing, especially in this industry. I think it depends on what career you're in. And that's why I wanted to point out, well, she's in a career where all she does is sell, sell, sell. So that's just like... she's used to that kind of dialogue, and it's just in her nature to do so. Like, it's in my... I don't consider myself to oversell anything, but someone else could. But that's just my demeanor. It's a... you gotta grind it out here in Hollywood. So it's like, sell, sell, sell.
And I liked in this episode how we kind of saw both sides of this, because we see, you know, on Mary Jane's side and everyone there, we see these confident women who are overselling themselves, you know, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And then we have these girls who the sex traffic stories are about, you know? And it's just like, you see both sides where these girls, you know, are underselling themselves and don't know their value and are trying to figure that out. So, I mean, it's just another one of the things that this show does so beautifully. This was a deep episode.
It was so heavy. This was,
And I love this episode because it shows that, you know, what Mara Brock-O'Keel is doing and what the show, it's more than about, like, sex and men and who's sleeping with who and, you know, fashion or whatever. Like, this is, this was deep. We had some, we talked about homosexuality, sex trafficking. Like, these are major issues that people need to hear about and may need help with, how to, like, get over it or how to come out. Like, flawless. This was borderline like some SVU like undertones, which I love. And the captain was there, by the way. You know, if you watch Law and Order, you know who the captain is.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh yeah, captain. Yeah, she was amazing. Yeah, that was such a great scene. Too,
it was.
That
scene.
Oh, fill us in. Who was the captain? What was she wearing?
Mark's mom.
Mark's mom.
Yeah.
Oh! Well, there we go. Yeah. Speaking of Mark's mom, do we want to talk about the meeting of the parents?
Meeting of the parents. We have Mary Jane called in to pull beard duty again. I mean, we've all been there. We've all had to be someone's beard at
That's
some point.
That's a great term, a beard.
She gets called in again, and right before his parents get there, he actually gets in a big fight with his boyfriend
Eric
about you know the fact that he is a grown woman or grown man. We were talking about girls before. He's a grown man woman, who can't even live his life. who can't live his life honestly because he hasn't come out to his parents, the world, to anyone. Mm-hmm. He still keeps it in a bubble. And I thought that was such a beautiful conversation, too, because it's definitely something that's out there, especially in the black communities.
Yes.
The struggle of coming out to your parents and, you know, the repercussions and everyone being raised in the church. And, you know, there's a lot of ties that are being pulled there.
Yeah, and he was selling, too. That was interesting. I felt like, you know, she just sort of caught him overselling this being a straight guy and have, you know, and them telling their stories and all these kind of things. I think there was a lot of that, a theme running through the show.
Yeah.
You know? She just caught him on it and just said, you know, again, almost the same thing. You don't have to sell yourself, you know.
Yeah, and I like that, you know, the mom said, you know, what did she say? I wrote this and I can't read my own handwriting. She wants to share his life with him, but he's hiding it. Like, that is so true. And it was such a great perspective to see the parents' angle and their point of view because
it was really
you
good.
Never know.
Yeah, the father really moved me, too. I mean, and, you know what he was saying? Just that sense of, you know, you, whatever I feel about it, the situation, the fact that you felt like you couldn't tell me that, you know, that you couldn't be yourself around me.
Right. It seemed like he was more upset about him, the lie itself.
And be a man about that, actually, not necessarily whether or not you're a man.
And I thought it was very honest and powerful that he admitted that he was homophobic, because this is, this is the African-American community, like, it is very, very realistic that a lot of African-Americans are homophobic. So I think this was a great platform, and I'm so glad that was on this episode.
Yeah, and I think there's... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, and I think, besides being homophobic, I think there's probably just the whole thing of that it is a choice that something happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that maybe in African-American men, I think there might be more of a feeling of like, this is a, why did you choose that? What you could have, where did it happen? Who did what to you that caused you to be like that? We don't really feel like you're born like that as much, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
Now, I'm going to be the skeptic here at the table. And I feel like Mark doesn't necessarily know who he is. I am not sold on Mark being completely 100% gay. I think that he is bisexual, maybe bi-curious, maybe...
We all sim tea.
No, I really do think so. Yes. I think that him and Mary Jane have this natural chemistry, and I think that we're going to see that explored in this season. I really, really do think so. And even the dynamic between him and his now ex-boyfriend, it just didn't seem like... as natural.
But I liked what he said to Mary Jane in the office at the end of the episode about his ex-boyfriend. He was always on the fence, and he was never giving it his all. I think he needs to find the person who, now that he is free of the shackles of keeping the secret, I mean, it's still going to be seen if he actually comes out publicly, since he is a public figure.
Yeah.
But at least privately, he's out to his family, and he can come out to his friends. So now seeing him in a relationship, I think you'd see a different Mark.
See, I took being on the fence as him being like, I don't know if I like boys. I don't know if I like girls. That's how I took it. But it can be different. I just feel like we're going to see a lot of that developing. And just like even like that soft gaze into Mary Jane's eyes, I'm like, okay, there just seems like there's something more. And it could be that he's not, you know, into Mary Jane, but he just wants to see if this is a possibility or to see if he truly wants to come out in the public eye as a gay man. He wants to kind of make sure that he's gay first. I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is just me being skeptical of...
I'm going to let you have your path because I believe everyone can have their own thoughts. I think Mark is gay.
Me too.
And I don't think he's questioning his gayness. No. I think he's gay for real. But I love that Ashley's imagination is out there. And
I'm thinking outside the box.
She's bringing a new perspective. Yeah. And that's what this is about, having dynamic conversations and seeing all the angles.
Well, obviously, Mark wants to see all the angles, too. I'm just guessing.
Whoa. What you trying to say?
whoa. Because, I mean, I think I love Mark and Mary Jane's friendship. Yes. I think it's beautiful. I think the fact that they could sit there and tell stories of trips and fake engagements happening at restaurants and stuff like that flowed so naturally for them because they have such a strong friendship. And I love that, and I do want to see more of that this season. I'm not sure it's going to go in a romantic way, but I would just like to see more of them together because it's finally a man in Mary Jane's life that she's not tripping over. You know, she's not trying to impress him. It's not about the sex. It's about her being real and her being her true self with him.
That's true.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Well, before we go on any further, I want to talk about the quote. The quote that was at the beginning of the episode.
Woman is the N-I-G-G.
Nigger girl. Go ahead.
Of the world.
I'm just saying because we read it on the screen, so we might as well just go ahead and say
John Lennon.
How do we feel about that title? I was like, I gasped. I was like, wait, did y'all just read that? Am I tripping?
I started doing some research on it because I don't know much about John Lennon.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, the obvious. But it's actually, like, him and Yoko Ono did a single, and that was what it was called in 1972.
Wow.
Okay. What was it called again?
Woman is the Nigger of the World.
My gosh.
Oh, wow.
That's, like, really...
Man.
I think they could
have used it. That's really the definition of nigger, I guess. That would be really...
Yeah, and
not as far as a racial thing, obviously.
Oh, you mean ignorance?
But just as like the back of the line, you know, that the definition of it, which is that you are always
on the bottom. We are never on the top, no matter what.
More the genesis of the word. Word, not really.
Okay. Like even with the guy saying, "Oh, you're overselling yourself. Like you, why are you?" And then she feels like she has to because. Women are the world. But I don't know if I like the title, though.
Because I'm reading on this right now.
Please do.
So please.
What does it say?
But it's saying that, you know, the lyrics of the song are actually pro-feminist. It's a strong pro-feminist statement. And he was actually awarded by the National Organization for Women for displaying a positive image of women and citing the lyrics in that, but it was, you know, clearly because of the title of it, it was offensive and got some backlash, but it actually topped at 57 on the Billboard Hot 100. And
do we have a clip of that?
Right, I would love to hear. Yeah, I need some time to marinate
Me
on
too.
It. But knowing that it's John Lennon, like I'm not off the bat offended. I just need to I want to hear the backstory.
I just need the context of it because as someone who didn't know about it, I doubt it was anything ill-fated.
Yeah. No,
he's being recognized for stuff, so it's like clearly he was always about the message and the shock.
I don't think that charted on the R&B
No, it wasn't on the R&B.
No.
Charts right there.
None of the urban charts.
Oh, here we go.
Thank you, Marissa.
Okay, we got a little swing to it.
Yeah. What's the melody?
Woman is the... No.
Yes. That's a
freestyle. Oh, that was pretty close. Yeah. Yes, she is. Think
about it. Okay, so, I mean...
I still need to marry
you. Yeah, I still need to let it sink in.
Yeah.
But knowing that it's coming from a positive place makes me feel a little better about it. But like you said, I need to just... soak it in, do a little bit more research, and I guess I'll just bring it up next week. And let us know.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Here, finish this. Yeah. I'm trying to look up the lyrics right now for that. But I want to talk a little bit more. We touched on it briefly, but I want to get into Mary Jane's story for the night, which was about the sex trafficking. Mm. And the girl that we meet, Polly, who, you know, is 15, we find out. 15-year-old white girl who, you know, has been, we don't even know how long she's been a part of this, but she's, like, registered in high school. And the fact that it happens in your own backyard, this is something that, you know, we watch Taken and movies like that, and we think this is something that's, you know, it's not here in the U.S.
Right.
But it's right here in our own backyard. This girl is registered in a local high school. She doesn't go. But, you know, she lives in the area, and this is still happening to her.
What I find so fascinating is that while she's, while Mary Jane is doing her journalistic duties, she finds out that these girls get just snatched walking to school or walking anywhere, and that's really, really scary. And one thing that I do want, I want to know how you guys feel about it, when it's brought to her and it's like, Polly, she's the white girl, Mary Jane's like, ugh. She kind of like, I don't know. Why do you guys think that Mary Jane's character would do that? Was she not really happy because she was black? And I mean, she was white and she really wanted to do a story on a black girl. Is it because America is always doing stories on white girls with blonde hair and blue eyes? I really want to know your take. And
I thought it was just because she seemed so young to her, you know? She just looked like, it's like a little kid, kind of, you know?
Well, Mary Jane didn't see her yet.
Oh, when did she do the, when did that happen? Like, not when she came, not when she came to the diner. You're talking about another
one. No, this was, yeah, this was before when she just, Kara, she just brought, came to Mary Jane with the story and said, okay, I couldn't find any black girls, but I do have this girl. Okay, her name's Polly, and she's white, and Mary Jane was just like, okay, whatever.
I think that sometimes the story can resonate with the audience more if the person looks like you. If if your audience is primarily African-American and you're talking about a white girl, you're like, okay, well, you know, that's them, that's not me. But then painting the picture of a black girl who looks like you and me is out there and this is happening to her, then in my mind it's like, oh, snap. There it is. It's a connection. So I think it's a visual connection that Mary Jane was trying to go for, especially, you know, getting young girls to even watch the news for stories like this is hard enough. So you really want to engage them and find a way to make them feel like, hey, this could actually happen to you. And I think by the end of the episode, when she's looking at, you know, the young black girl that she found, then that's when she calls Niecy.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, hey, this is my family. Like,
well, I think also, you know, we had that scene when Niecy was saying she wanted to go into porno and that stuff like that, you know? Yeah. So this was also a way for her to want to show Niecy there's a better way and what this life can lead to and things like that. So she may have been actually looking for an example.
Yes. Yeah. And when you know, see people that look like you, on, like you said, it resonates more with you when you see yourself or your reflection on TV. And that, and I think also, I think Mary Jane is very aware of wanting to, you know, push African American stories and interviews to the forefront. You know, she has that platform. And honestly, when I saw it,
which, like, is honorable. That's an honorable.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
A lot of people don't want to be.
I love that. And I felt like when she was like, when she said, ugh, I feel like that might be how other races might feel when they say, like, oh, it's a black person. You know?
Right.
So I think it's honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that she wants to have more black faces and do more interviews with African Americans. I think that's great.
So she just, not enough. She felt like there was just an absence of African American faces regarding this issue, and she really wanted to push it.
Yeah.
That's how, yeah.
Yeah. And then,
well,
I,
kudos to you, Mary Jane.
Yeah, go Mary Jane. But regardless of the color of her skin, Polly's story itself is
still profound. It was so, it was like, it made such an impact.
Yeah, it was hard for me to even sit there and watch, and I know this is a scripted show because you start thinking about all the young girls who it could be and what's happening to her, and then you have her pimp coming out. Was he there the whole time? I did not see him.
I think he was there the whole time.
Yeah, it was kind of scary to have a pimp just lurking like that.
Right. Me. It was a setup, technically. I mean, realistically, because they were in it for the money, and she said that it's all about the money. That's the only reason why they were there. She didn't want to help. She didn't want help.
No.
She wanted to get paid to share her story.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
And another thing that Mary Jane pointed out, which I thought was interesting, she said, based on in today's society, why aren't these girls calling out for help? You know, mm-hmm. you can send a text, a Facebook message, a email, a Twitter, whatever right. it is. And, you know, what Kara said to her was that if someone's threatening your life, you're going to shut up. But the fact that these girls could be so close to home, yet no one knows where they are, hurts my soul.
Yeah.
That can happen in today's age.
It's very scary. Because I had the same thoughts. Like, when you see the little girl mm-hmm. sitting outside the hotel and the step, like, just run. Go, you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, when your life is threatened or you've been mentally, like, abused. Sabotaged and abused verbally, physically, and emotionally, mm-hmm. It's a state of mind.
Yeah, so you have nowhere else to go. So right. Maybe this is still your provider, you
That's
know?
True. You don't, maybe your parents, you don't have them in your life anymore, anyone yeah. to help you. And, you know, that girl's only getting a Happy Meal mm. a day. Like,
ugh. Yeah, $2 a day.
Yeah. Like, and she said she's not even worth $5. But in the same sentence, she wasn't even seeking help. Like, it's sad.
Right. Because they become a team, I think, with the mm-hmm. pimp. You know, mm-hmm. you know, this is your function. Yeah, this is what you do.
And $20,000, I would feel like someone's life is worth more than that. Like, it was just hard to hear, you yeah. know, putting yeah. a price on a 15-year-old.
But that was great. She wanted to pay it. That was really, I thought that was really great. Mary Jane was really going to try to yeah. save her, actually, you know, and go in her pocket like that.
That was good. And then this is a little on the lighter side. Do men, she made a point that her mom told her that men who shower before work have more coins. Do you think that's true? She said, my mom always said men who shower before work, mm-hmm. there's two types of men. One who shower before work, ones who shower after work.
The ones what about who shower the ones before who shower work, before and after? That don't
maybe
exist.
They're bajillionaires.
I mean, it depends on what the yeah. work
I
is.
Think
yeah.
I kind of, I'm like lost in the, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, okay.
Yeah, you got to shower before work so you'd be fresh when you get
yeah,
to work.
Yeah, and then I would think that you funky. Showered after work because right. you are funky from work.
I think it's businessmen who go into work who wear a suit, like uh-huh. the stereotypical, uh-huh. like, you know, corporate America. They go into work, they shower before work. And the ones that don't, or maybe the ones that she has to put Vicks VapoRub underneath her nose to deal with.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
right. Oh, we're so talking about poly.
The non-professionals.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay.
Right. Well, they might be coming from work. Those guys.
They got that whole
yeah.
part of
yeah,
the
they
show.
Might be coming from work. I don't know.
I heard it, and in my eyes, I was like, well, to me, it's like someone who takes pride in what they're doing and wow. wants to, you know, present themselves in a way is going to be showered and cleaned right. and go into the office or, you know, your place of business and do your work with pride. And then the people who are just kind of rolling out of bed and half-assing it are just going to be the ones who are showering afterwards or, right. you know, waking
not
up later.
At all.
Not
See,
showering at all.
I didn't think that at all. I was thinking that it had something to do with men cheating on their wives and in correlation with her being a prostitute or selling her body. So the men who shower before work, you know, they had, you know, they did have the more money, but then they would go to her and would have, you know, they would just get more money from her. And then the men who, you know, took a shower after work or whatever would be showering from her or something. It was just like a sexual connection to me, which kind of, it did go over my head because I'm like, okay, whatever. I just, because yeah. I didn't want to, Polly
so
is just
about
too young.
Putting in work. No, you're not talking
yeah,
about
yeah, and I was
work.
Just like, I don't,
about.
Whatever, but.
Polly's mom was too smart for us because
that yeah, was. Yeah, I was like, what? Polly's mom needed to come on the show and, like, break that down for us, but. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk to Richard a little bit yes. before we have to wrap up here. You said you're in the studio still working on your music and stuff. When are we going to hear something? Can we get you singing like on Mary Jane, on Being Mary Jane, like your character?
We might. Yeah, we may. Maybe we can. Yeah. I don't think that's totally far-fetched.
Yeah, let's start a social media campaign. Let's get Mara on board to get you like singing.
That's true. Yeah, I've talked to Mara about it a little bit. So.
Oh, okay.
What'd she say?
She just wants to hear more. I think she wants to hear more stuff.
You gotta give her more.
Yeah,
you gotta
give her more. Yeah.
I mean, because your character already has like 50 jobs. This could just
that's
be another
true,
one.
Yeah,
you know?
I need some moonlighting.
Yeah, moonlighting at the club.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You did mention while we were watching the show that the scene where the kids were trying to draw on the walls, mm-hmm. like there was something that was happening during the day on set. Tell us about that.
Well, it was just hard because the little boy was so well mannered and trained, you know, that actually it was very difficult to get him to write on the wall. And then when I would come running at him, you know, he was just so scared that he had done something wrong.
Scared.
Yeah, that it was really hard to get him to do that. He was actually, he hated that, and you know, I scared him when I would come at him as granddad coming like, boy, what you doing? You know, and he was like, ah, you know. So it was really, it was, we'd have to calm him down, like, no, it's okay, you know, it's all right, you know, just drawing it again. You know?
I'm sure he went home that night and drew all over his mom's wall, and yeah, she was not happy. That would be my
yeah.
I would have done that as a kid. So for this season, we're already seeing changes in your character. Can you tell us, you know, a little bit more about what to expect from you?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, this arc, you know, is a real strong one that's happening with, you know, my character being on his own and working, and then a few things happen to where, you know, I have to really step up as a father. You know, definitely. It's a little bit of a twist. It's a surprise, but
surprise.
But I think it's a nice color that you get to see another side of Patrick. You know, from the thug, from the bad. You know, from the bad boy. Yeah, I think you see a softer side. Yeah.
Okay.
So, do you think that Patrick is truly a thug at heart? Because he graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
He's very well educated, and we have been seeing, you know, some of those thug characteristics. But
right.
Really getting thug from the character.
Well, you know, I don't think, I mean, what I love with the show and all the characters is that we're not one dimensional, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think that, you know, you're going to get like a all thug or all scholar or all businessman or all drug, you know what I mean? All debt. Mm-hmm. It's just, it depends in the moment, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody steps to me, I might beat them down, you know? But, you know what I mean? If I see a puppy crossing the street, I might run and grab it and save it. You know what I mean? It's just the characters, we can do anything on the show, and I think that's what I love about it. And I don't have to be just one dimension, you know. Well, I mean, I'm an educated thug.
Yeah, that's good.
That's you know, a college graduate thug, you know what I mean, whatever, you know, but a father and a, you know, just a man.
I think every lady would love that. What's it like? You have some really heavy hitters that you're working with, some of your co-stars. What's it like? What's the camaraderie like? What's it like on set, behind the scenes?
Well, you know, behind the scenes, it's everybody, of course, is very intense about their work, you know, so there's not like, I wouldn't say there's a lot of like, joking around, you know, because we really have to get it in.
Mm-hmm. Now that I find so hard to believe because we've seen them out so many times on so many different carpets and you guys,
well, no,
seem
we're
like,
out. I mean,
you guys
on the
are
set.
So hilarious together.
Oh, well, no, that part, I mean, we love each other. Yeah. Everybody, it's a ball. Yeah. We, you know, we hang out and, everybody's just so cool.
But
so
business
it's one of the,
business.
Yeah, right. It's one of the more fun sets and fun group of actors and people to ever work with, actually, you know,
so,
but
there's no like joking around or pranks on set or anything like that.
No, I mean not that I know of. But it's pretty serious.
You guys are about business.
Yeah, it's about maybe when we get off
Jane.
The stage, maybe off stage, maybe in the dressing rooms or whatever, you know. But no, once we hit the set, no, we're definitely in the characters because we love the work and the work
dedication.
Demands that. Yeah, it demands it. Yeah, it demands our full focus.
What, if anything, have you learned from Patrick?
I've learned. That it's okay to fail and to restart, you know, to start over and keep starting over until you get it right, you know. I mean, I think a lot of times it's hard when you've arrived somewhere and then to get somewhere else you realize you have to go all the way back to the beginning, you know. So a lot of times I think people are stuck in whatever they're doing because they don't want to start over, you know, and just really literally start from the ground up. But it's real powerful, I think, to see this and have this kind of story where men hopefully can realize that, you know, ain't no shame in the game. You know what I mean? Do what you got to do, you know, and just build from there, you know.
Lovely. Well, quickly, let's get into some predictions for next week.
Well, Ashley's had some.
I know. I've already had like, so, Fania, you can start.
Well, I want to know, Richard, give us a prediction that wouldn't be a spoiler alert that you can tell us the fans can look forward to coming up this season on Being Mary Jane.
Juice.
Like we're only two episodes in. So.
I can't. I can't. I would spoil everything.
Wise man. He wants to keep his job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like me.
Yeah, I mean, I know what's coming. Yes.
Yeah.
But just more. Yeah. More.
So
what?
On a level from 1 to 10. More sex? Okay.
There will be more sex, actually. Okay. We had, especially in this episode, there will be more sex, yeah. With okay, more characters well, having more sex.
That's something. Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hold on to that.
I like that one. Fania, what you got?
I think Mary's going to have more delusions of David and this, you know, the dreams, and it's just going to keep going for a little bit longer.
I can see that happening. I would like to see Mary Jane at some point find her peace with David and not move on necessarily, because sometimes I think a girl just needs to be single for a minute and just love and appreciate yourself and your friendships and just get yourself together before you go out there messing up another man. But yeah, I could see that happening too.
I can dig it. I like that.
Ashley, you got one over there.
I do. I think that Mary Jane is going to end up peeing in the bed again. I think that she is going to be, we're going to see more boys. I was watching the preview and I counted three. I saw a dark skinned brother, a caramel brother, and then David, our light bright. And I'm like, that's three. Like, oh my gosh. And then the dark-skinned brother had her against the window. Mm-hmm. More sex.
More sex. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and I agree, Tiana. I think she needs to work on her friendships, kind of leave the boys alone a little bit, love on herself, develop her the relationships with Mark, and hopefully we see more with Doc, Latarsha's
yes.
character. And we'll, I don't know. I'm really eager to see how everything pans out.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see how everything goes on. Oh.
Mm-hmm. One of our fans from last week wanted us to touch on the abortion.
Right.
We didn't talk about it at all last week, and we're sorry about that. Do you guys have any thoughts? Look at Tiana. Tiana's...
we'll get to it next episode. Unfortunately,
I love you.
Sorry, I didn't know.
We're running out of time, unfortunately, so we'll get to it next week. We haven't forgot about you, and thank you guys so much for commenting on the YouTube and watching. We can't do this without you guys, so it means a lot. So please go to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, YouTube,
SoundCloud,
all of that, and like Mary Jane, MySpace. Comment being Mary Jane, AfterBuzz TV, MySpace,
AfterBuzz
TV,
hashtag Patrick,
Patrick, hashtag thank you Richard Brooks for coming in and spending your Tuesday night with us.
Thank you, ladies.
Vanilla Pudding Tuesdays, by
and
the
way. It is going up
on Tuesday. And Richard, where can fans find you on social media so they can talk to you and hear more about your outside projects?
Well, I'm on Facebook as Richard Brooks and Twitter as RLB Soul, and on Instagram as Richard Lee Brooks.
Oh, nice. Okay. Ashley?
And everyone can find me at Ashley Gray TV on Instagram and Twitter, and check out my website, Ashley Gray TV, if you want to know more about me.
Ooh. Fania?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Fania Thomas.
And you can find me on Facebook and... No, on Instagram.
You're not on Facebook.
At the Tiana Hobson. On Facebook at just Tiana Hobson.
Oh, yeah.
It's late, y'all. I'm sorry.
I got one more shout out.
Okay, go for it. One more.
I just want to shout out to Gabrielle Union for showing us so much love on Instagram. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for that. Thanks again to Richard.
Yay, Tiana. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming. And guys, don't forget to go on to all the social media. Find AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. And make sure you're leaving us comments. Tell us what we can do to make the show better, how much you like it, how much you love Richard Brooks on the show. And we will talk to you all next week.
And hopefully next week. No, this is major. Next week, we hope to have
Jasmine
in studio as guest. If not Jasmine, then Lisa Vidal. So there's
or
that.
Or Raven.
So you guys got to watch.
Better watch.
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.